This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The EFF. The EFF, of course, launching their provincial manifestos all over the country, and they're going about that in a pretty big way. You see it, you engage it, you feel it. There's a bit of a tremor when they engage. And, of course, here, what happens when you do see the EFF engaging in either their manifestos and or rallies is you do see the flood of red. Well, here in Gauteng on the 2nd of March, the nationwide manifesto launch, also the provincial manifesto launch, Dobsonville rally, 2nd of March, and then, of course, one of or many of the various, let's say, resolutions, let's call them resolutions for all intents and purposes, that would have come out was this important one that I picked up on. If you can't create jobs, you are wasting time. So that's the one particular aspect, and there's so much to talk about then around the EFF and what's going on in Gauteng, and then also what's going on in a specific little place called Ekurhuleni. And I think congratulations are there for all intents and purposes, because here, what was once seemingly an impossible task for the EFF, I think they've turned the corner, or something's happened, because from the language of maybe a month ago to the language of today, very different in that particular space. Let me bring Dumisani Baleni into the conversation. Dumisani Baleni, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective, Chief. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you, my brother? And thank you for having us, and greetings to all the listeners of Power FM.
Sure, bro. Dumisani, well, congratulations, firstly, in Ekurhuleni. I don't know if it's congratulations, because status quo remains, apart from maybe the mayoral position, you know, but, you know, things that were happening around that particular space. So status quo continues. And then I see Action SA not happy with Dunga being, you know, in charge of finance in that particular space. We don't necessarily have to engage that particular space. But I saw the release that came from the EFF today. And the EFF were talking about, in the statement, the people of Ekurhuleni would be happy because, of course, there's a continuation of the government. There is the collaboration. And the EFF led people's government. I suppose from the division of those particular MMCs and those mayoral positions, that you're pretty happy in Ekurhuleni that you got what you got.
Well, first of all, I think it is important to clarify the fact that, you know, part of ratings of municipalities is that there should be stability. Stability constitutes to a lot of things, which include service delivery, but also importantly, your ability to measure your progress as an administration. And therefore, on those bases, we are really, really happy that there is stability, there is continuity in the city of Ekurhuleni, and that the MMCs of the EFF would be able then to, you know, over time, because we only had an opportunity to lead for just a year, and then now we need to be able to test that the foundations that which we have laid are really, really solid enough to, you know, bring about, you know, more sizable and more recognizable changes to the people of Ekurhuleni. So I think we're fine, we're satisfied with the arrangement as it is.
And I'm building up to something, Dumisani. The statement continues to say this arrangement will exist for the fulfillment of the term. So whatever we are now seeing, and you're talking about that stability where the rating agencies and others are looking for stability, one of the things that they would be, I suppose, happy with is that particular statement that says this is what the team would more or less now look like until the end of the terms within that particular space.
Well, that is what we want to see happening. Because we are really committed to realizing local government. Remember that even when we're with the DA and in different, when we voted for the DA municipalities, the EFF actually gave them a chance for about a year to give them a chance. Let's not judge people before they start working. So let's give them a chance. And we've orientated the ANC that the arrangements and the conversations that we had in the beginning, there's no need to go to council and remove a mayor and cause instability. If there's a need to speak about something, it is important internally to continuously engage and see how best can we improve our working relations for the people of the Gulen without, you know, causing instability. So we expect that this should continue up until the end of the term.
That's what I said.
Unless otherwise there's politicking that happens. But also, you know, it shouldn't be continuity for the sake of it. It should be based on clear objectives, service delivery of our people, and making sure that there's improvement in the city's status.
But there's a commitment made in essence to that it'll continue to the end of term. Just on a side issue, Dumisani, what happened to that whole thing where somebody in a red overall said, who are these rating agencies? Who invited them to come here and begin to rate us? We never asked them to come.
We maintained it. I think it was an MMC that we have an MMC of finance, you would remember, in Ikuruen, but the EFF released a statement in this respect. Remember, rating agencies are appointed by institutions to rate. You don't wake up and rate Power FM. We must appoint you to say we think you are a recognizable and legitimate, you know, and reputable rating agency. We would like to procure your services or to have an understanding so that you can rate us. So Moody's rating agency wakes up, rates Ekurhuleni in the middle of a political instability, if you can call it, in the middle of political, you know, theatrics. You have an institution that is willing to come up and raid Ekurhuleni and cause even much more panic and you can see that there's a target also to the finance minister of MMC of finance of the EFF
Kululeko.
To try and portray a certain or push a certain political agenda, and that is where we had a problem with. And you should actually follow Moody's without us saying a lot of things about them, without us recalling their history everywhere in America, in all other countries. Go check their ratings now about Tshwane. Now about Tshwane. They rated Tshwane together with Ekurhuleni. Now they've rated Tshwane again. All of a sudden, Tshwane is getting improved ratings. It's politics. It has nothing to do with what is actually happening in the cities, and that is very, very much problematic. There is a rating agency in Ekurhuleni, and we think we should be able to await its conclusions, and then we can take it from there.
The only thing is, Dumisani, if I phoned Moody's today, they'd be like, no, we don't work like that. We do wake up in the morning and we do go to various places and we do rate. And that's the way they would tell me that they work. Talking about relationships, Dumisani, let's talk about that relationship with the ANC there in Ekurhuleni. And let's just backpedal a little bit. Are we still working to the conditions that maybe would have applied a few months ago or a year ago, where political parties, the EFF and the ANC, were not choosing from amongst themselves, you know, key candidates, but from smaller political parties, because amongst others, the EFF and the ANC, and the EFF particularly, would say this, we can't and we don't trust the ANC. And then, of course, you would find the AAC involved and you would find smaller political parties involved. Here we've No, I'm wanting you to explain it because I understood some of those comments to mean that even when things develop in the future, the formula would stay the same in the sense that continuation with the smaller political parties getting those particular positions and the ANC and the EFF would you know, just back off from those particular things. In this particular case, have things changed?
Well, I think it's a valid question because in other municipalities across where this kind of arrangement exists,
and there's printed writing and there's printed script around it, and there's, you know, there's vocals around it where people would say we don't trust them, seemingly they don't trust us, and this is the arrangement we have made.
Oh, so what I'm saying is that there's that arrangement exists in all other municipalities, and you would see even now the councillor who was a mayor, councillor Ngodwan, now has changed to MMC. The Ekurhuleni situation is a different one. I think as much as I'm not, you'd remember in the EFF, this kind of conversations lie at the higher structures, but one would think with the situation that has transpired, with the instability that existed, and the fact that on the day of the election of the mayor, only the ANC's candidate was forwarded, without opposition.
Yeah.
You would think that developments would be different, but the principle of the EFF that would not prefer the ANC to be in charge would like the political parties that have lower votes or minority votes to be the ones in charge. That is a principle that stays, but the Ekurhuleni situation is different and is a product of political engagements, perhaps a bit above my level at this moment.
Sure. But I just want to linger there just a little bit, right? You would, and not about the positions now. You know, I've spoken to quite a few leaders here, EFF and ANC leaders, and I've spoken about, you know, the relationships of the EFF with the ANC, and I'll use, you know, the playing field of Ekurhuleni as the basis for my conversation, and the conversation then would talk about coalitions in essence, right? And so, like you say, you know, that arrangement is there, and that is the preferred option from the EFF, except that things in Ekurhuleni turned out a little differently. David Makura, head of the political education in the ANC, anti a relationship with the EFF. Fikile Mbalula said, you know what, we need to refer this to an ANC national task team. You know, these guys are just messing up in Ekurhuleni. Look at them in Johannesburg. Mzwandile Masina recently said, not in favor of working with the EFF. The ANC national task team coming out and suggesting otherwise, that, you know, this relationship is not on. Panyaza Lesufi, even in my studio here, saying, Denzel, I could write a book about those chaps, talking about the EFF in essence when he says those chaps. The president, when he was asked about a relationship with the EFF, was like, you know what, we tried this thing, doesn't seem to be working, but, you know, this is where we are. In essence, those people do not speak very, very highly of a relationship with the EFF in general, not alone what's, you know, Ekurhuleni or Johannesburg or, you know, I think the other, you know, where is it? Is it Nelson Mandela Bay? The other? Nelson Mandela Bay. So in general, they don't speak very highly of a relationship with the EFF. Do you take those kind of comments seriously, or do you just park it as electioneering?
Well, it's comments of the ANC, so you would have to understand also the the organizational makeup of the ANC as an organization that has different stratas, people are allowed to speak different things to express their, different political views, as if there's no center, as if there is no proper ideological standing of that particular organization, which we don't have a problem with. And the fact that what they are saying, you would also have to follow the comments of the EFF when we speak about coalitions and the ANC, is that we stand for the EFF and we stand for what we want to advance as an organization. And therefore, there will be clashes of ideologies and also the political schools of thought as in how you operate as a person. Mm. You would remember there was a letter of the EFF, of the ANC, Ekurhuleni, from the ANC Ekurhuleni leadership, that complained that the operation, the way the EFF MMCs operate, that they are too energetic and they are beginning to erode their ground. And we can then trace everything from the ANC, every comment from the ANC based on that letter, which is a very important letter, because it says the EFF, governing with the EFF, has now allowed, because of the EFF's commitment, to even take over, and we continue to say we want to remove the ANC in power, and that drive of the EFF now becomes a threat to the ANC. So you'd naturally expect the ANC
I can understand that scenario. I can understand that scenario.
And then another thing now is that now we are here. The question is, does the ANC have majority in these municipalities? The answer is no. And that is where the issue is. The EFF does not have majority. The ANC does not have majority. We don't have 50+1. Now, the issue is that you must now constitute government. And that government must be able to work. Sometimes you'd have to then constitute government with people that you don't want, you would not necessarily want to be with. And we are very much comfortable with that. But as long as we are able to hold each other accountable to set a certain objectives to serve the communities, the rest is politics. It's going to take place whether in the political space, in the media, but also on the ground. It's still going to happen because we're in continuous contestation with each other as political organizations.
I was trying to, Misani, in my head, I was trying to work out what was actually taking place, whether when I looked at the mayoral position and the change of that particular formula that had been, decided upon and agreed upon, I was trying to work out in my head whether the ANC did deals with both ends. They did a deal with Action SA to get rid of, who they needed to get rid of, and they would have done a deal with the EFF that would have said, we will maintain and retain the MMC positions. Or the EFF was blind, blinked first, and the ANC took advantage of that. Or new negotiations that go beyond the local government, beyond provinces, that go into national government. Let me ask you about maybe you can or maybe you can't. Is there within the realm of these negotiations and these, cooperations that are happening, co-governing conversations that are happening?
Yes.
Is there any conversation that is beginning to talk even about national? Or is it a conversation that happens after the election when everybody's got their numbers and then everybody goes and says, even the EFF and the ANC, okay, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you. Is it a conversation for after? Or, are people beginning to put out feelers and those things already happening? Are you and the ANC basically sitting already around a campfire and having conversations?
No, absolutely not. Currently, I think the commander in chief also has labored on this issue more than once, too many times.
Sure.
That it would be, it's not a strategic, politically strategic thing to start negotiating coalitions before elections. it's a very
because strategic. You might just find yourself the dominant partner, and then you know you're in a marriage that you don't want.
Yes, exactly. And also sometimes you might negotiate and during look at what is happening with the multi-party charter of the DA. Mm. Now there's an issue of those organizations that have agreed to something, and now there is other parties that seem to dominate the others, and it creates conflict. So
let's put a name to it, Dumisani. You're talking about that flirtatious relationship that the DA seems to be having with the ANC suddenly.
Yeah, but together with the with everyone with the multi-party charter of DA SNC and the rest.
No, I got that.
So the EFF is focused on victory. Focused on mobilizing. I'm sure in your introduction you spoke very massively about the EFF's campaign, especially here in Gauteng.
Yeah.
We're targeting victory, but with an understanding that if should that not happen, there's gonna be a need for conversations, and the EFF has opened doors, even including to those that said they'll never negotiate with us. They have opened doors to
everyone. They put Floyd Shivambo in the door.
No,
I'm kidding.
No, even that needs to be explained further.
I know. I'm kidding with you, Dumisani. Yeah. I know exactly what's going on there. I agree with you. So
there's no conversation right now. Mm. And remember, there's a lot of things that are being said, especially because there's a lot of panic, there's a lot of projection of numbers, a lot of things that are happening. Mm. It is important now for a political organization to focus on its political program, to focus on the elections campaign. Mm. And who knows, we might win these elections and we don't need to talk to anyone. Mm. And should there be a need to talk to someone, that will happen after. Mm. And that will involve the EFF principles in terms of the cardinal pillars of the EFF, in terms of the objectives of the EFF, and that will be a conversation that is taken after that by the national leadership of the EFF.
The land conversation will happen without any other intervening voices that don't need to be there. Because you would have the majority if that worked out. Let me talk to you about just that particular aspect of when you say, you know, we might just return as the majority party, right?
Yes.
Let me ask you this particular question. What is it, Dumisani, maybe you can answer it for me. What is it about the EFF that particularly frightens or scares analysts and journalists and other people, maybe some in the business as well, when someone talks about the EFF in power? I was looking at, you know, commentary, for example, and this is not a conversation about Floyd Shivambo and or the finance minister position, but it's interesting to note the kind of conversations that happen around that particular suggestion. Julius Malema might have been joking. Julius Malema might have been serious. But that particular point about Floyd Shivambo got some particular journalists to write and analysts, it's spooking the markets. And others were talking about cautious conversations and scared and business and this and that and where the rand would be and whatever it is. What is it, and maybe you can tell us from within the EFF, what is it that encourages people to write about the EFF in the way that they do when we have conversations about the EFF coming to power? What scares people about the EFF? What makes a journalist write, you know, the conversation about Floyd Shivambo as finance minister will spook the markets? What is that? So ultimately then the question would be, what is it about the EFF that scares people or puts people off in that?
Yeah.
And I'm just talking about that reference point. I'm not talking about the electorate now or whatever. I'm just talking about the commentary that you also would see as I would see them.
Yes, I think we need to not look at it on the on just after the president had spoken. I think since the beginning of election, there's been a mobilization or remobilization or organization somehow of the spaces of influence, especially the fourth state, the media, in an anti-EFF position. It's not everyone, because then, I mean, the electorate will tell you. The electorate will tell
and
you.
Hence, I didn't go that route. Yeah, Dumisani. I was just talking about, you know, what.
I think it's them trying to spook the market. They are trying to spook. It's not the EFF that will spook the market. They are trying to spook the market on their side. So it's the SWAT kafar that's perpetuated by the DA most of the time, that should the EFF take over, this is what is going to happen. The markets, your properties will be seized, this and this, there will be a mayhem in the country, which when you read the policies of the country, even the investors and everyone who understands business, who understands everything, when they have a conversation with the EFF, they do understand very well what the EFF stands for.
Yeah.
But now we're dealing with the question of elections and campaigning. And we know these media houses that have taken positions that otherwise would suggest there's embedded journalism in the mix. And we will need, as the EFF, to be able to come up on top of that, because then we must have a conversation with our people, which is the most important thing. The people that we need to not spook, the most important thing is our people. If our message is not spooking our people, then we are very much in line, because then the program of the EFF is a very clear program, to be honest. If one is an investor, understands what the EFF wants, understands what the EFF will not want, and understand that this is what is possible to get out of the EFF, this is what is not possible. Like, for instance, make a simple example about issues of investment and the issue on mineral resources.
Yeah.
You have investors that are investing in Botswana with the conditions Botswana state, you know, impose on whoever comes to mine their resources.
Yeah.
But people are going there because there's clarity of policy in what must happen. So we're not faced that much by these people who write these things, because we know that they most of these things are motivated from places that we are not part of. They are not writing for the sake of the media, media's neutrality, media's independence. They are writing from a certain political point of view.
Let's just change a little bit of tact. 2014 national elections, because you know, founded July 2013, right? So 2014 national elections, 6.35%. 25 individuals in parliament. 2016 in the local government elections, 8.19%. Massive improvement on a young party. And then 2019 national elections again, 10.80%. 44 parly seats at that particular point. Middle of COVID, 2021 local government elections, 10.42%. Every other political party basically, you know, lost ground. The EFF more or less staying pretty equal and within its particular, you know, framework of where the numbers were concerned. So you've been able, Dumisani, to have a growing credible opposition to what I would call a historically dominant ANC, formidable force that's ultimately emerged. One can't ignore the existence of the EFF, particularly those particular numbers. Given we've got 2024 and people are looking at an aspect of the EFF growing, and I've seen some particular polls and projections beginning to talk about 18%, close to 20% there. So 2014, 6.35, 2016, 8.19, 2019, 10.80, 2021, local, 10.42. What are your polls telling you about 2024 in this growth trajectory?
Well, our polls, polls from Ethos, the last time I checked, we checked as an organization, were projecting us exactly around the margins of 18 to 20.
That is what Ipsos said.
Yes.
And Ipsos over the years has been pretty spot on.
Yes, they've never got it wrong. So that's the poll that we're, able to rely on. But there will still be polls that are coming up. But we are looking in terms of the polls, are looking at the margins of 20.
Yeah.
But our polls also indicate that with the EFF growing, there will also be a diminishing of the Democratic Alliance, the EFF might be placed.
The formulas are pretty easy. If one grows, the other there's demise in the other. I mean that's pretty easy. Yeah. So you're saying you're looking at numbers in the DA coming down.
Yes.
Are you looking at numbers in the ANC coming down?
The ANC is definitely going to be to go down because. As an organization, if you also trace the liberation organizations throughout the history of the African continent, is that on the third decade, that is what normally happens. They drop, they lose majority, and this has been happening because of the sins of the incumbents, because of the of comrades in the former liberation movement beginning to feel a bit higher than the people they are supposed to be serving. So the ANC is a discredited political organization, and that is at least in all the polls, whatever poll that put the EFF, the ANC, the DA, one thing that all polls are sure about is that the ANC is good. And lose its majority.
Discredited,
so that is what we're looking at.
Discredited political organization, and yet in Ekurhuleni Joburg and Nelson Mandela, you're comfortable with them, Chief, but that's not the point I'm gonna make about it. But that's not the point
Understanding the way people see the ANC, they see it for what it is. That's why even now when they are trying to bribe people with jobs. You hear people that we've given you 30 years. We can't believe you now.
Let me ask you this question then, Tumisani. Yeah. Let me ask you this question. So let's work on a scenario of 18. Let's say Ipsos is Ipsos, right? And they spot on again, 18 to 20% for the EFF. So as South Africans and the populace begins to sort of navigate what I would look at and call a complex socio-political landscape. I mean, it's South African landscape is pretty complex.
Yes.
And what do you think then the role and influence of the EFF is at that particular point? You're no longer, if you're at 18-20%, right? I get that you won't change your policies, you don't change your resolutions, you don't change your mandate. But the influence level would be different. You'd be able to play a bigger role, a much more commanding role at about 18-20%. How do you begin to have you envisaged how you would play a role when you are bigger, in essence, to in relation to the ANC and the DA, for example?
It's a very interesting question. What will be important with the EFF, especially as it grows, it would be to be able to learn from what has happened with the party that was in charge. In terms of one, Commander-in-Chief always speaks about this, is that the party in itself must be able to stay very strong as an organization internally, which is very much important to an organization that is big. You will see that internal party stability is what they cause, instability is what they cause when an organization is big. So the strong center of the EFF is very much important. But also,
I have to tell you, Dumisani, you've been able to avoid what's happened in a lot of other political parties that have been emerging, that suddenly have fractions and factions and all sorts of splits and things before they even become, a bit of a force.
Yeah, so that solidity will be very sacrosanct. And then the second thing is that we must be able, as the EFF, to prove to our people, even if it's us in government, or we are in any arrangement according to what the leadership decides, the EFF will have to be able to prove to the people of South Africa that these policies that we've been speaking about are possible, they can be done, this is how they are done. So the growth of the EFF then will give us that opportunity, because the aim of the EFF, to be honest, has always been that you must be able to take state power and be able to transform it into economic power for our people. So when the EFF is as big as that, it has a bigger stake in the politics of the country, it must be able to prove to the people, because then there's a time of campaigning and conscientizing our people, but then there's a time where you need to prove to our people that which you are speaking about is possible, and this is how it is done. So I think that is what is going to be very much important to the EFF, is to prove to its people, is to bring practical change to its people. Then we can say, but this is an organization that needs to be trusted with power going forward, and needs to be given the support, political support it needs, and the society must rally behind and trust it when it takes decisions. Because some of the things the EFF is proposing here are not going to be received well by those that are in privileged positions right now, and we need, at that moment, you will need your majority as an organization, or you would need your support as an organization behind you and be able to say, but we stick to these guys, we're saying let us give them a chance, let us be able to test their policies. So that is what would be very important for the EFF in my perspective.
Sure. Our land and jobs now. Stop load shedding now. Victory is certain. That's basically the national theme. And if you work it into you know, aspects of you know, the manifesto, basically, I think you can pretty much find all of those particular aspects there. Our land, jobs now. Our land is almost synonymous with conversations happening within the EFF, jobs and the economy also now. Stop load shedding. That's pretty, you know, recent for us. I'm talking about recent in time, to the extent that it's beginning to happen. And then you've added victory is certain. But then you've also got another one that I'm a little worried about personally. It says your core message, in essence, it centers on economic freedom in our lifetime. In my lifetime, Chief, do you know how old I am already?
Can we
hurry these things up to me, Sally?
Yeah. So if it's possible to really attain economic freedom in the lifetime where we exist, if one tracks really and studies the states that or the countries that have built themselves from ground up, we take leaflets from the People's Republic of China, that is a very proper example, because those guys are able to set goals. Say the 10 years or the 5 years, this is what the state should be able to, the state of China should be able to achieve. And when we arrive in the 5 years, we're able to say, but how have we done in terms of that? I think the goals of the EFF in particular are very, very, very practical to achieve. Economic freedom would mean then that our people would have access to land, and it would mean that our people would have proper access, to the economic means. They will be better than they are right now.
Yeah, true.
So we think those things are very possible. The manifesto of the EFF speaks to that, but I hope that you in this session will be given a chance to speak about those and what is it that we think is practical to be done, that we can come back after 5 years and say, but this is what the EFF has been about, and this constitutes to freedom in the perspective of many majority of our people in this country.
You know, you're talking about economic emancipation and advances in that particular space, Dumisani. And for me, when I look at the EFF manifesto, and I look at, you know, the various points that you would make, and just in Gauteng, for example, you know, the acceleration of land redistribution. I mean, it's national, provincial, basically, you know, dovetailing together, which they talk the same language in essence. You've got spearheading job creation, combating mm-hmm. unemployment. You've got the commitment to ending load shedding. It's there. You've got a stance on corruption, and you pretty much deal with that particular aspect quite you know, regularly throughout the manifesto. Point number four, I think it's a recurring theme on corruption, both in government and the private sector, and talking about transparency, accountability, integrity in all the facets of government. You've got enhancing service delivery for all, and you've got the which is at the end the running cry for change. You know the terminology that I engage particularly in the EFF manifesto with is the marginalized, and that particular word is a heavy word, and maybe we don't engage it as firm enough or regularly enough, because, you know, economic emancipation can happen to each and every single person and one, but if you're in the marginalized zone and you are marginalized, it means that even economic emancipation is not happening to you, and in essence, the EFF speaks to those marginalized as well, and I'm glad about that, actually.
Yes. Also, I'm happy that you are reading the manifesto.
I've read it.
Yes. No. Mm. It's very much encouraging, because there's a tendency of people judging us before. Before they open the manifesto, but yeah. It is very much important to focus your vision, because the economic freedom fighters, like we say in our founding documents, is that it is an economic emancipation movement that mm-hmm. is focused on the liberation of the poor people, the working class, the landless people. Blacks and the African people in general. So this is based on the fact that the numbers are and the proof is out there for everyone to see, that as much as South Africa is known to be the richest country in terms of mineral resources, as much as we are known for many other things, there's a lot of things that are happening in South Africa. There's a lot of things of business in South Africa. As much as South Africa also is hailed for one of the most beautifully mm-hmm. Crafted constitution, is that at the end of everything is that there are a certain group of people that historically were always been at the back of everything. They were always pushed. Mm. Yes, they were always pushed at the back. They were always pushed into spaceless spaces. They were always on the margins of everything that is happening in the country.
And nobody speaks to them.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you do in the manifesto. Mm.
Especially because you would remember, and that's where the issue is with everyone else that think you can drive development and drive everything with a blanket approach, when we, from years of apartheid, that road policies that specifically marginalize and put a certain group of people outside, that excludes them completely. And you need to be able to have a redress program. You can't just say, let's go forward together. You need to be able to say, these are the targeted place, the people that needs to be brought into the level. And once those people are brought into the level, we're certain that everyone is fine. Mm. But you can't wake up and say, let's have a blind blanket approach where we want to provide everything for everyone. It's not like that. You need to be able, because apartheid was not designed like that. It was designed as an academic program by people who were educated, who knew exactly the results that apartheid would give to our, would bring to this country. Hence, today our people are still marginalized, but also psychologically has had an impact on them. So you need to be able to speak to those people, to speak to their economic freedom, but also to speak in terms of conscientizing these people and improving their confidence and making sure that they understand and they stand up, they take their place in the world, and they recognize themselves as human beings worthy of all the rights enshrined in the Constitution, of all the benefits that are here in the country, that allow that the economic benefits in the country. They must see themselves in those things. They must be able to see themselves in the institutions in the country. They must see themselves in the businesses of the country. They must see themselves as the government is engaged in a program. These people must be able to see themselves and say, but we are part of the South Africa. But right now, to be honest, most of our people don't see themselves in the South Africa that people are lauding, that people are speaking about, the constitution people are so beautifully speaking about. Most of these people don't see themselves. And we are saying we need to be able to have a focused a policy and approach in this, in these things.
If you had a scale, Dumisani, and it's 30 years of democracy, and we're going to be celebrating it in a few days' time, the 27th of April, and absolutely, which is absolutely in a few days' time, and if you had a scale in the EFF, and I'm sure the EFF does have a scale to weigh this 30 years, on. You know, on the ANC will tell you that they've, you know, achieved quite a lot, and they will give you the numbers and the figures either of water, electricity, you know, and the aspect of democracy, which might even be, you know, a bigger component than all of the numbers that we're talking about. And so, yes, the achievements are there. People have made strides. People's lives have changed. Other people will tell you their lives haven't changed, and others will argue on this particular show also that it was better under the National Party, and they will argue that particular point, and they will argue it constantly and continuously. If you had a scale on what has been achieved over the last 30 years, where with what I've said, where the ANC does refer and say 30 years is a very, very short time to have done anything significantly different than the National Party and or colonialists had in over 300 years. Where would the contribution be of where we are in 30 years, in 30 years? Would we be at a margin beyond 5% where we're into the positives and we've achieved, and you know, we're not quite at 10, but we're sitting at 6 or 7, or are we at a 4 or 3 and we should have done much, much better?
Well, I think the ANC's performance over the 30 years must be rated on the lives that have been impacted, on the realities here in South Africa.
I think that's the only scale, I think, yeah.
Yes, and they must not compare themselves to the apartheid government. You can't, a democracy cannot compare itself to an apartheid government, because those are two different governments aimed at achieving opposite objectives, if I may say. So that's the biggest, the first problem is the ANC's comparing itself with apartheid government. But also let's in rating the ANC, so they said the ANC around 1996-1997, they agreed, I think they had a government policy to transfer land, agricultural land. They said after 5 years they would have transferred around 30% of agricultural land.
That was the target,
people.
Yeah.
Yes, and then I think in 1999 they only transferred 1%, and then up to this far, the ANC has not transferred agricultural land to our people. 80% of agriculture and arable land is still in the hands of white people. And that is what you must rate in the ANC's tenure in power.
Rate them on the land.
No. Part of the things that you must rate on them. I'm mentioning the land now, the land question. Part of the things that we were supposed to write, which the apartheid, the wrongs that were supposed to write of in the apartheid, is the question of land disposition. And the NC has not done anything in the question of land disposition. Two, you must rate the living conditions of. Remember, people were then denied of many of many things, including the participation in the economy. Right now, the expanded unemployment rate, I think, is in the margins of 42%, if I'm not mistaken. So you have people who want jobs and are very many of them are educated, many of them are semi-educated, many of them have skills. They can't find jobs. The ANC government is not industrialized. So we must rate the ANC government, let's say right now, of the universities that existed before the apartheid, how many universities has the ANC built on its own? Those are the questions that we must ask. Mm. The ANC, when it came into power, said it's going to provide our people free education. We must ask ourselves right now, how many universities has the ANC built? How many people has it given free education, which is no one? And right now, the graduates, matriculants that finish school, majority of them cannot find spaces in universities and college because the NC has not built any institution on its own. The NC has not built institutions. Right now, let's go into electricity. The NC commissioned Kusile and I think Midupi, which they're struggling to finish and to complete and to make sure they are fully functional. In the energy sector, the ANC has not improved at all. The people of South Africa. So load shedding was always an issue that was predicted because the electricity infrastructure was made for a few people then, and now the coming in of many of the rest of the country would necessarily cause a lot of complications. But the ANC has not built anything. The ANC has not built hospitals. Those are the things that we must ask. We must ask the things that the ANC has done outside the apartheid government, and you will find the ANC wanting. If you weigh them on the scale, you find the ANC wanting. I don't think it will pass the margins of 5. That is very high for the ANC standard.
Let me, Dumisani, hold on. I'm going to bring Mpho in Orlando. Mpho?
Yes, good evening, Brady, and to your guest there.
Sure, Mpho.
Yeah, I'm an artist from Orlando West. I also teach kids to do art here at home. So all of them are actually members of the EFF.
Yeah.
So they've created some artifacts which the EFF can use in their election campaign. And they've also composed about 5 to 6 songs, which are very beautiful songs.
Yeah.
And they would like to bounce it off to the leadership of the EFF. So is it possible, because I'm calling on their behalf, and I also assist them in doing whatever they've done. So is it possible for me to leave my contact details to your guest so that we can communicate further on this matter?
Chief Mpho, hold on for me, Mpho. I'm going to bring Dumisani straight into the conversation so you can talk to Dumisani straight out. Dumisani, you can talk to Mpho. Here's someone who does artwork and has created, EFF artwork. And there are people who he has trained in that particular space also. And they have also done EFF art. And most of them, if not all, he says, are EFF members. And he wants to engage in the space of how he engages the party and or somebody who can engage that particular art that they have done, whereby I'm assuming an exchange of hands could happen. Dumisani, you can speak to Mpho.
Hello, Mpho. And thank you for calling. I think what encourages me is that there is some sort of understanding of the EFF's outlook or attitude towards the people in the creative industry, which we value so much. I think I can give you my number. You can also give me your number because I'm the communications officer of the organization. I would really take that up, and I would make sure that there is EFF representatives that come. Orlando, there's a lot of fighters that are there, a lot of our leadership that operates from that side right now because of elections. So I think it will be very, very much easy to facilitate the meet-up and the relations.
Sure. Mpo, you happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with that. You give me the number sure. after the
No, what will happen, Mpo, is Karabo or Babsi will give you Dumisani's number, and yeah. and Karabo and Babsi will give Dumisani your number, so okay. so that you both have each other's number. How's that, Mpo?
Okay, thanks.
What we can do also, sorry to interrupt, sure. is sure. that so my number okay. is very public. You can go to EFF Gauteng on Twitter. You'll find it EFF Gauteng. Yeah. On okay. EFF Gauteng on Facebook, all the statements of the EFF, they have my number down there. So,
but we'll share it. We'll share it anyway with Mpo yes, because we've yes. got him on the line yeah. now, Dumisani.
So okay, we'll, no, let's do that.
Sure, Mpo, you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy, brother. Thanks, brother Dumisani.
Sure, bro. Dumisani. Yeah, 10 o'clock, Dumisani, and we're still in the middle of the conversation, you know. And it just shows you how time flies. Dumisani, I'm going to say thank you so much, Prur, for coming on to Power 98.7. Thank you so much for engaging us tonight on all sorts of issues. And you know what? We watch and we talk to all the political parties, yeah. But I think a lot of people are also beginning to watch what, you know, the EFF and what the EFF does in that particular space. Like I said, dynamic and evolving political landscape, the emergence of the EFF, a central chapter in our post-apartheid narrative. And so, in essence, a significant force, depending on who you talk to as well. But I'm going to say, Chief, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on to Power Perspective. Thank you so much for coming on to Power 98.7. It's appreciated, Dumisani.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity. It's a very important thing, and we appreciate the fact that you guys are taking the route of giving everyone a space to express their views so that our people would have, you know, an opportunity to listen to everyone and make an educated vote. And we thank you that you are not playing part in the speaking of the people against the EFF.
Dumisani,
because it's a very worrisome thing that is happening. But yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you very much.
No, Dumisani, and you listen to Power 98.7 and you listen to Power Perspective. You will have an understanding that on this show, and I can speak for this particular show, that we engage equally. Yeah, Dumisani, just on a thing that I'm going to hold you accountable to. I'm looking for the CIC walking in here one day and sitting down across the chair here on Power Perspective and going, so Denzel Taylor, you are the Denzel Taylor that everybody's talking about. So we're going to make that happen, Dumisani.
On my side, push, and because the CIC, I know that the CIC is taking interviews.
No,
right
I got
now.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll ensure that I push on my side, but because there's separation of
no, I got
the,
you
of the responsibility.
I'm using the hook that I've got at the moment, Dumisani, with you. Yeah, whisper into the proper ears there, Dumisani.
Yes.
Got you, Dumisani. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Shab shab, Dumisani Baleni, talking to Power 98.7, Power Perspective. And of course, we engage everybody here on Power 98.7.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.